So first couple of days, the only thing we had to shade us from the sun was like our shelter halves put over what are those things called? You lay on cots. That's the name. So it got pretty hot, you know. It's real undomesticated, if that's what you want to call it. So, and the only thing we had to eat, you know, were our MREs and some other food that the Saudis would bring us. We didn't have our kitchen up, you know, for a couple of days, so we ended up stuck eating just whatever we could, you know, as far as MREs and hot bottled water. So, but then eventually, you know, we were able to set up, you know, we had reefers, which those are like 18-wheeler trucks that were able to keep fresh foods and vegetables and everything in, and cokes and stuff, and we set up, we were able to set up in this big barn. We had sections for the brigade, and we had a place, a dining area. We built a post office in there, of course we had the supply rooms with all the weapons and stuff, and you know, and there's a lot of things you can do, you know, if you only have wood and stuff, it's, you got people that are good carpenters, you know. They also had us in orderly fashion. At first, we were just all kind of bunched together, but, you know, they had us, you know, by units, you know. One, the company would be like the HHC, which is the brigade headquarters, is what it's called. We had our area, and then HHD, which is the battalion headquarters. They had their area, and then the companies had their areas, and then, of course, we had a place to park the vehicles and everything. And, they even painted one of the walls, or one of the doors of the barn to show movies, because they had, the recreation people had projectors and everything, so they even showed movies for the soldiers. It was pretty neat. You know, of course, they have a lot of people were sending care packages, and they were just books. You know, had a lot of books and everything. And so we were there. It was called Griffin Base, I believe that's what it was called. We stayed there until it was after Christmas, right after Christmas. This guy, Saudi guy, we had contracts with, had cleared part of his land area out. I'm not sure what it was, but he cleared it out and he built barracks, and so the brigade was able to go and move into that, and they were able to use that base for other battalions coming in. And but I never stayed in those rooms. I packed my bags, and went up north to KKMC for I don't know what those initials stand for. It's some Islamic name, but I ended up having to go up there. Which, by the way, I was a brigade commander's driver until I got over there, and they kind of frowned on female drivers, and it looked bad for him him being a higher military officer, having a female driver going against their ways. So I ended up driving for the command sergeant major, which, you know, turned out probably a little bit better, because I ended up going a lot more places with him than with the colonel, than the colonel did. So my duties weren't that hard over there in Saudi, but it was still stress as far as, you know, not knowing, it's the unknown, was the worst part about it. And so I was the only female of about 20 people up there in our campsite. I shared a tent with three other guys, and everybody was cool. I mean,
they didn't treat you any differently.
No, I mean there's a difference there, because I'm a female, they're a male. I mean, biologically, there's, of course, there's a difference, but we were all soldiers there for the same thing, you know. We all had to go out and clean the showers and the bathrooms, you know. We had to burn the poop and stuff every day, and I mean, everybody had their duties, you know, their cleanup duties and stuff. But as far as being treated any differently, no, not really. Now, one guy told me that the Sergeant Major, you know, he had people kind of watch out for me, you know, if I was in the shower or something. But as far as in front of my face, they never really. Maybe it's because of the type of person I am. You know, I was like, hey, you know, one of them was in the shower stall. One of them would be in the shower stall. I'd go in and shower right next to him. It didn't bother me, you know, because, you know, we were there for a purpose, you know, and I wasn't going to sit there and expect them to do anything different for me. You know, I'm a soldier just like them. I just happen to have different anatomical parts, if you want, anatomy parts.
Yeah.
You know, and so he might have had people, you know, just checking out on me, make sure that I was okay. Mm-hmm. But as far as coming to my face, I didn't feel I was treated any different. But it was a long 3 months up there, you know, because you, especially when the war started, because we went about 6-7 days, nobody wanted to go and take a shower. So we went about 7 days without a shower, which was the longest that I think I had to go without a shower while I was there. You know, I didn't have it half as bad as a lot of the soldiers over there. A lot of them went 2 weeks without showers. I mean, you know, and the guys, they're in their tanks, they're tankers, you know, that was their home, you know, and so they went months, you know, seemed like to them without showers, you know. So everybody had their job to do, and everybody had their stresses, you know, and there, some people had, you know, more hardships than others, you know. But you know, we were all there, even though I don't feel like I put too much into that war. You know, we were still there for a reason, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's still kind of a proud part of my history, you know, of my life happenings, if you want to call that.
Mm-hmm. But, so it was majority men then? There wasn't very many women?
Yeah, well, I can't really remember. There was, I know, me and, now the Lieutenant Watson, she's Captain Watson now, which is my roommate now, she had been moved up to brigade to help assist S1, so she was there. And then we had about three or four just in HHC, but there was a lot more. I mean, there's a lot of females over there, as far as in the companies and other battalions and headquarters and everything. I mean, you had I can tell you the number of females, but there was a lot of females there compared to what people would think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people say, oh, women don't belong, you know. Mm-hmm. But hey, we were all there, we all got our job done, you know. So I know when I was in Panama, there wasn't, after Panama, the guys would be asked, you know, well, what did you think about serving with females? And they say, hey, they kicked ass just like we did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but that, you know, that's just the way they looked at it. You know, when bullets are flying, you don't know, you don't care who's next to you, as long as they're doing their job. So, I mean, I even had a guy that, he could count, he was a joker, you know, and sometimes he'd say, oh, you know, I want a wife that's going to be barefoot and pregnant, you know. But me and him, we had to man the 60 a couple times out on the airport in Panama. And he told me, he said, you know, he said y'all kicked butt, you know, just like we did, you know. And he told me to my face that he would be proud to, you know, to serve with us anytime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a feeling, you know, because I guess you come out of something like that alive.
Yeah,
you don't, I mean, it just doesn't matter. there's, when bullets are flying, there's not one that says, you know, I'm looking for female, I'm looking for male, you know, they're all, it doesn't matter, you know, so.
Was it hard being away from home that much?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like for 5 years I was in the Army, I never really saw my family that much. After basic, I had missed 4 Christmases in a row. Mm. And so that was, I mean, that put a lot of stress on my family. And it put stress on me too. I looked at it more as, well, I'm here doing my job, you know, and I don't know that it really affected me as bad as some people. You know, I was homesick to a certain degree. I mean, I miss my family. I miss being there with everybody. I mean, I have two nephews and a niece, you know, that, matter of fact, my little nephew, my smallest, youngest nephew was born while I was in Saudi. So, you know, he was already almost grown, seemed like, you know, I never really got to see him as a baby. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, yeah, I missed, but it didn't affect me as bad as it did some other people. You know, it just depends on who you are as a person as to what your family is like. I mean, when I graduated from high school, I had told myself, you know, I made myself swear to God and on the Bible that I would never make my mom and daddy depend on them. I didn't want to have to depend on them. I didn't want them to have to sit there and wonder, well, is our daughter going to turn out to be anybody, whatever. So the fact that I was out doing my job was, you know, it really didn't bother me that much, but yeah, I was lonesome. You know, it was. You sit there and you wonder. I mean, especially not knowing what's going to go on. You know, it's like, you know, when are we ever going to get to go home? And, you know, see the family and stuff. But it was hard. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say it wasn't.
So what ended up making you get out of the Army?
Well, there were some things about the Army that, you know, I didn't really care for as far as the way that they're downsizing the Army. To me, a lot of times the soldiers were not taken care of like they should have. It's more of a backstabbing environment, and the officers were getting their tickets punched and everything. So, and plus I wanted, my ultimate goal was to get an education, and as you can see, the 5 years I was in, I just didn't have much of a chance at all to get any schooling in. So I just felt that it was time for me to go on to a different chapter in my life. You know, that chapter was pretty full, and even though I feel like I could have probably stayed in 20 years and had a good career, I just felt like I needed to close that chapter for, you know, to get my education. So I got out to go to school.
Is that when you came to Alabama then?
Yeah. I have some relatives in Birmingham, and I have had a lot of several Army buddies that were here. And I like Jacksonville State. You know, it's real down-to-earth school. It's not too small, but, you know, it's not too big, you know, and everybody's pretty friendly. So, I've really loved it so far. This is my third year, so.
Mm-hmm. Are you fixing to graduate?
Next spring, hopefully, I'll graduate.
What's your major?
Exercise science and wellness. Minor in food and nutrition. I hope to, I'm not going to be an actual coach, but I hope to be like a weight trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, add a little nutrition in there. But I can do anything with that major.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for doing the interview, and it was really interesting.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it. No problem at all.
Okay, and this ends my interview with Tamara.